I want to ask a weird question going back to Nick Bosa.
Shocking.
If Tom Telesco and John Lynch are forced into a room surrounded by guards with rifles and they have to trade Bosa's, which team has to throw in the extra draft choice, and what? How high a draft choice would that be?
Well, the Chargers would have to throw in a draft choice, even though Telesco wouldn't do it. But the Chargers have to do it for a very simple reason. Nick Bosa has been a better player very early in his career. And again, look, the reason why I keep saying, okay, I love Nick Bosa. Anybody has to love Nick Bosa. But we have to let it play out for a while because, you know, that's the way the NFL is. 7 weeks is 7 weeks. 7 weeks is not four seasons. And, you know, Joey Bosa, when totally healthy, has been as impactful as his brother. But we have seen 7 weeks of a totally healthy Nick Bosa, and all we can go by, the classic Bill Parcells, you have to go by what you see. And all we can see right now is that Nick Bosa has been available, and he's been better over a seven-week period overall than Joey Bosa has been, even though he's been very good when he's played. You know, he's been better over a short period than Joey Bosa has been over a long period.
Well, that's why I asked you what number draft choice it would be, because if you include all that into the argument, maybe it ends up being a fifth.
But the question is, Ray, the question is, if Tom Telesco had to make a decision right now and make a trade, I would have to know at that point from the Chargers, is Joey Bosa absolutely, totally, unequivocally healthy with no X factors in his physical being? If so, I'm not sure I would make the trade at all because, hey, look, Nick Bosa told me the other day, and he's absolutely right. He goes, a lot of what I'm doing is a tribute to the guys around me. And the fact is, Nick Bosa has a better supporting cast right now than Joey does.
And that's why I included the gunman.
Yeah.
Peter King, here on 95.7 The Game. An awful lot of roaring about NFL trades up to the deadline, but a very quiet deadline indeed. What'd you think?
I think two things happened. Number one, I think that...
most of the deals got done?
What's that?
Did most of the deals get done?
Yeah, well, no, not necessarily. I think, for instance, Cleveland wanted Trent Williams of Washington, and I also think that Chris Harris Jr. was desired by three teams at least. But I think what ended up happening, you know, at the end of the day, that the value for trading for veterans, both, you know, with a couple of years or more left on their contract, the end of the last year of their contract, the value of those guys had been set by San Francisco and New England. So the trading teams, you know, like, for instance, the Jets with Robbie Anderson, the wide receiver, I don't think there was any way that Adams was ever going to get traded, because I think that the Jets basically said, look, if somebody makes us an offer of, say, 2 ones, you know, for Adams, who's a top 10 safety in the league, easy, he might be a top 5 safety at his age in this league, we're not trading him unless somebody blows us away, and nobody blew him away. So there you go. But having said all that, I think that was part of it. And I think the other part of it is that every single player that was on the block was pockmarked. So if you look at AJ Green, you know, has missed basically, including this year, 32 games in the last 4 years because of injury. He's 31 years old. I'm sorry, I'm not giving a one for AJ Green. And then you look at Trent Williams. He, you know, is held out this year, and the previous 3 years he has missed 15 games due to injury. He's 31 years old. Why in the world are you giving a one plus, you know, or even a one, you know, at a good level? The Cleveland Browns wanted Trent Williams, but for Cleveland to trade a one for him, you have to think, is Trent Williams, a 31-year-old injury-prone tackle, worth a top 13, top 10 pick? Because look at what Cleveland is. That's what they're going to be at the end of this year. They were making the Trent Williams trade for basically for 2020 and beyond. So to me, when I look at the trading deadline, I think that nobody wanted to pay the really big, really significant market value for players based on what New England and San Francisco gave for good and not great receivers.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr joins us in about 6 minutes from right now. It's time for a little lightning round here with Peter King. Just quick stuff to go through a little a business of the league. Is it time for the Bears to punt on Mitch Trubisky?
Chase Daniel should be starting for the Chicago Bears right now because it's very clear that you know, that the head coach of the Bears, Matt Nagy, does not trust Mitchell Trubisky.
Is Miami trying less than they were 3 weeks ago?
Miami tried a lot last night because they had the dumbest single play and formation in the 2019 season when they blitzed a bad quarterback with eight rushers that they didn't need to blitz and got caught for a touchdown at the end of the first half. That's the reason the Steelers won. I mean, the Dolphins are a dumb football team right
now. Could we take it a step further and say we got a coaching staff throwing a game almost?
I don't know anything about that. I can just say on that play right there, that was a stupid play call.
At the beginning of this interview, you put the Niners in the class of the Patriots. My question is, if they were playing on Sunday, who would you pick to win? And assuming you'd pick the Patriots, what do you need to see from the Niners to switch that?
I need to see the Patriots get throttled or beat up or I need to see something happen in Baltimore Sunday night that shows me that Belichick can't figure out everything. Because they're going to play a good team. This is the first really big – they've played eight teams in the first half of the season. You might argue that the best team they played so far was Pittsburgh. But they weren't the best team because Ben Roethlisberger was just a schmo then. And in my opinion, this is going to be a legitimate challenge for the Patriots. And if they are rocked to the canvas, you know, and get hit to the canvas in the fifth round by the Ravens, then maybe I'll change my mind. But I'm one of these people, until proven otherwise, give me the Patriots.
Is Ben Roethlisberger as a schmo worse than Mason Rudolph in his second start?
Oh, he was terrible the other day. I mean, I know he won the game, but who has confidence in him? I'm playing the duck guy next week if I'm Mike Tomlin.
No, I just the thing that struck me very quickly is that New England and San Francisco have played roughly the same schedule, and the team they had the most difficulty with was the same one.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that because, I mean, look, their defense is good, but they're not a very good team. That's all. That's the only thing I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. Let's wrap up with this, Peter. There are numbers in baseball they say we're never going to see again. We're never going to see another 300-game winner as a starting pitcher. Will we ever see another pro coach cross the 300-win threshold the way Bill Belichick just did?
If that coach has an all-time quarterback, yes. But without an all-time quarterback, no. It'll never happen again. Because to average, you know, 11 games a year, 11 wins a year, whatever Belichick has averaged, is absurd. But again, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. Anybody who knows football has to love Bill Belichick, but they also have to acknowledge the simple fact that he's got the greatest quarterback of all time playing with him, unless you argue Montana. And if you do, that's fine. But he's got one of the two or three or four best quarterbacks to ever play football as his quarterback. And you've got to consider that that is a factor in what Bill Belichick has done.
Peter, outstanding as always. Thank you so very much. Really appreciate your time.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Peter King here on 95.7 The Game. You know, he talks about Tom Brady being an all-timer. I got a really interesting list that was handed to me earlier in the show here.
It's a list of two.
Tom Brady and Andy Dalton through their age 32 seasons. Andy Dalton is 32 years old right now.
This is his whole career.
Tom Brady was 32 years old a long time ago. You want to talk about situations dictating careers? Tom Brady and Andy Dalton, their careers are forks off the same road. Tom Brady and Andy Dalton almost have statistics that mirror each other through the age 32 season, and look how different their lives are. Let's just go with completions. Brady's at 2,672. Dalton's at 2,647. Attempts. Brady was at 4,218. Dalton, 4,259. Passing yards for Brady, 30,844. Dalton, 30,352. Brady's completion percentage and quarterback rating, 63.4%, 93. Dalton, 62%, 88. Yards per attempt, Dalton's better than Brady, 7.13. Brady was 7.31. Excuse me, Brady is better by 0.2 of a point. Fourth quarter comebacks, that's where Dalton was better. He had 20, Brady had 18. Game-winning drives, Dalton had more by his age 32 season than Tom Brady, 24-21. Amazing. Amazing. Andy Dalton, the poster child for laughing at a quarterback, had the exact same career as Tom Brady in the age 32.
Because we laugh at quarterbacks too easily. And I go back to this all the time to the point where you're bored to death of me. But quarterbacks surrounded by bad players are bad quarterbacks. Quarterbacks surrounded by very good players tend to be good quarterbacks. I don't know where that puts Mitchell Trubisky at all.
Bad quarterback. By the way, welcome to your 5 o'clock hour.